You're listening to the Pastor's Podcast of Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. You can find more resources like this one at missioncityfellowshipsa.org.
Hi, and welcome to this Mission City Fellowship Pastor's Podcast. I am Rob Sadoff, and I'm one of the pastors at Mission City Fellowship. We continue in our series of podcasts on Christ-centered parenting, but today we're going to take a little bit of a turn to talk about grandparents and actually the term grandparenting. I am excited to have with me Larry McCall. Larry McCall is a pastor in Indiana. He just told me that he'd been there for 40 years at the church there. He's still serving in the church, but stepped down from staff there. But he and I were part of the same region in Sovereign Grace for a number of years, and God used Larry to help my church back in New York help navigate a leadership transition, and his counsel was just so very helpful. I love Larry. He has been an encouragement to me for a number of years, and he wrote a book on grandparenting, and it's just wonderful, and I am so excited to recommend the book to you. I'm even more excited to have him here with us. The name of the book is Grandparenting with Grace, Living the Gospel with the Next Generation. This is such a helpful book on so many levels. It is filled with the clear teaching from God's Word. It gives a great theological framework, but it's just also filled with incredibly helpful applications. Matter of fact, reading this book, there were just so many practical applications and helpful suggestions, and it just was so good on just so many levels again. I am eager for my church to benefit from the wisdom and biblical instruction that was written there. And so usually this is about a 15 to 20 minute podcast. This will be longer. I want to make sure that we allow Larry to share his heart and to answer some of the questions. And hopefully through this, you'll get an idea about what's in the book. And so, Larry, welcome. So glad you could be with me.
Thanks for having me, Rob. And I'm looking forward to serving the people there at Mission City Fellowship.
I appreciate your willingness to take time to do this. I know, even as you were sharing with me, that you're gone a lot, traveling around the nation, actually doing seminars on this. And I know you also have things that you do on marriage, and how the Lord is just using you in the wider Christian community, and to bring some helpful, and I think sometimes not neglected area of really applying the Lordship of Christ in our as grandparents and what that looks like. So I just have some questions here I want to ask, and you can just talk and work through these as we go. Since you've written a book on grandparenting, obviously, I know you are a grandparent. You must have experienced that. Can you tell us a little bit about your family and your grandchildren, how many you have, and that kind of thing?
Well, that's an interesting question, Rob. You know, you ask most grandparents to talk about the grandkids, and you have to give a good listen coming up, but I'll limit my words. I'm married to Gladine. We got married 50 years ago this past June.
Wonderful.
And we were high school sweethearts, got married relatively young. And just delighted in God's grace. We have 3 married kids, 7 grandkids. Our grandkids, the oldest, will turn 18 next month, and the youngest is 6. And 3 of the grandkids live within a mile of our home. And we see them quite frequently, 1 or 2, 3 times every week. They're part of our church, and we help transport them if they need a ride somewhere. And then 4 of our grandkids are in southern Michigan, which is just 2 hours from us. And their dad, my son-in-law, is a pastor there, a Reformed Baptist pastor. And we see them pretty regularly, too. So we're real thankful that we're involved very frequently in the lives of our grandkids.
That's wonderful. I know when Tara and I were, you know, contemplating leaving New York to come to San Antonio, where we're both from San Antonio, but I have to admit, we had 1 granddaughter at that time, and she was in New York. That was the hard part of the hard decision. Like, Do we want to move away from her? And God's been faithful to address that and comfort us there. But it was hard. I mean, it's wonderful you have grandkids that are nearby, and that's just a really I appreciate that.
Yeah. So Rob, I've heard statistics that something like half of the grandparents, or 60% of the grandparents in North America, have at least one of their grandkids more than 200 miles away.
Yeah.
And so long distance grandparenting is real common in our mobile society. Just like you and Terry have experienced, there are ways to stay connected to your grandkids, even if you live a distance, through video calls, they're older, text messages, phone calls, budgeting time and money to go visit, having them to your home. I mean, we should be thankful we live in a culture where it's relatively easy to stay in touch, even with those grandkids that live far away.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's some of that really practical counsel and insights you have. But yeah, that is a tremendous gift that we can. Because I remember when Tara and I first got married, you know, we would want to call our parents back because we were in New York, and you had to wait till after 10 or 11 to call so you could get the better, you know,
rates.
Long distance rates. Yeah, like there's a whole generation that has no idea what we're talking about with that. But now with FaceTime, with all of these things, it's just it really is a gift, and at least to that degree. Well, let me ask you, what does it mean to grandparent with grace?
Well, thanks for asking. Grandparenting with grace. Obviously, we can't give grace to our grandkids. That's the work of a sovereign God. But he can give us grace to help our kids in mentoring their kids or grandkids. And so having a relationship with the grandkids that I call marinated in grace, that our time with them, our conversations with them, in one way or another, reflect Christ and point them to Christ. And even the hard things that come up in life, sometimes relationships are strained either with the middle generation or the grandkids themselves as they get older. And God's grace can empower us to continue to love and pursue even in those difficult situations, rather than just withdrawing and anger, bitterness, disappointment, whatever. And so God's grace is what empowers us and even shows us how to love our grandkids.
Wow. Yeah, that is that is so helpful. One of the things that you do talk about in your book, and you mention it a number of times in different contexts, is kind of the way that grandparents often joke about grandparenting.
Yeah,
I'll just spoil my kids and then I'll send them back to their parents, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you talk about that in a way that, as you taught, it's like I had to really begin to really examine my heart about how do I think about my place as a grandfather, and what does that mean, and do I foster those kinds of thoughts?
Yeah. Well, Gladine and I have the privilege of teaching a number of grandparenting conferences every year. And a lot of times I'll ask grandparents the first session just to get the ball rolling. I'll say, what's the best part of grandparenting?
Yeah.
And the most common response, I mean, you could almost fill in the blanks with me.
Yeah.
The best part of grandparenting is spoiling the grandkids and sending them home. And, you know, that's the dominant paradigm American grandparents live with. And it's so unbiblical and so unhelpful.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants spoiled grandkids? That doesn't that doesn't do the kids any favor. It doesn't do the parents of the kids any favor. And it doesn't honor God. And so let me just say this, that there are quite a few professing Christian grandparents in North America. It's somewhere in the vicinity of 30 million professing Christian grandparents. I don't say 30 million grandparents, 30 million grandparents in North America who profess to be Christians. And yet, when those people are surveyed, less than 1% say, I've learned from the Bible, I've been taught from the Bible, the mission God's given grandparents. And so very, very few grandparents say, my pastor or some conference teacher, some book taught me about biblical grandparenting. So Gladine and I, and there are others in part of this whole movement, that are on a mission to help Christian grandparents see that God's given us a ministry of grandparenting, and it is way better than just spoiling the grandkids and sending them home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, since we're on that, can you kind of lay out what the Bible tells us about grandparenting?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, you know, if you do a search on your Bible app on the word grandparent, you'll get a few hits, but not very many. But if you start looking into this building through the windows, other windows, you begin to see it actually has a lot to say to grandparents. There are places in the Bible where it talks about one generation to another, or your son's sons, or your children's children. And I think starting clear back in the days of Moses in Deuteronomy 4, he told the Israelites, he said, make these things known, the things that you've seen me do. God said, the things that you've seen me do, he said through Moses, make these known to your children and your children's children. And then not much later in chapter 6, he says, you know, do this for your sons and your sons' sons. And we jump ahead to the Psalms and Psalm 71:18 and Psalm 78, which is one of my favorites as a grandfather. It talks about in verse 4, you know, we're going to make these things about God, his greatness, his grace. We're going to make those things known to our children and their children. And then in verse 7, it says, so that they might set their hope in God. And I tell my fellow grandparents, if you want one passage or one verse to park on as a grandparent, how about considering this? That you want your grandkids to set their hope in God. And you're part of that. You're a means in God's hand to tell them the story of his greatness and his grace, so that the grandkids say, I want to put my hope in him. And Psalm 145 is similar. So you can see all these through the Old Testament, and then you get to the New Testament, and you see examples like Timothy's grandmother, Lois, how he was very involved in the lives of her young grandson, Timothy, teaching him the word of God so that he would set his hope in Christ. And so I encourage grandparents and pastors and teachers to teach on this. You know, teach the grandparents that God's actually given them a mission. Yeah. Grandparenting is missional.
Yes. I you know, reading the book, I think that was one of the things I just the whole thing about being intentional and not just like coasting through, but what is it with the idea that God has a responsibility, and a role for me in my grandchildren's life, and we need to be seeking what that is instead of just, you know, rolling along with whatever.
Yeah. That's well said, Rob. And I think a lot of grandparents say, oh, I'm involved in my grandkids. And they are. But I think a lot of it's responsive in the sense that maybe their son or daughter-in-law or someone says, hey, you want to come, you know, watch Brian's soccer game or something?
Right.
Yeah, we'll come. And they come and they cheer them on, say, that was a great game, buddy. Or do you want to come to, you know, your granddaughter's dance recital? Hey, that was really good, sweetheart. And that's a good thing to do. I'm not disparaging that in any way. And yet there's not a lot of pre-planning. There's not a lot of intentionality. So I encourage grandparents, including the one I see in the mirror when I shave, to be intentional, you know, to think ahead. And my wife, Gladine, I call her the poster child of intentional Christian grandparenting. If the grandkids are coming over to our house, she'll ask me ahead of time. She'll say, okay, what's our spiritual goal? What are we going to talk to the grandkids about today? Wow. And I think she's asking me, where she's living with this paradigm that when we're with the grandkids, not that we can't talk about the soccer game or the dance recital.
Right. Sure
we do. But we want to go beyond that. We want to go higher than that. We want to talk about the Lord and how they can know him and serve him. And so to be intentional involves thinking ahead, planning ahead.
Yeah.
How can I be involved in a spiritual dynamic in the lives of my grandkids? Whether you're just going to be on a video call with grandkids 1,000 miles away or if they're going to be at your house.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to get to this, and hopefully we will a little bit later, but just all the practical ways you talk about praying and praying if they're in your house going to bed at night, praying around the dinner table, praying, engaging. You give so many practical ways to engage in intentional ways, and I do want to get to that, but I do want to ask you kind of, you have a whole chapter about respect in regards to our grandchildren's parents, which are often our children.
Yes.
And that's a hard dynamic because you have generational differences. You have sometimes not the same values, although, you know, hopefully strong Christian vibe, but a lot of times not. So just address that, because that was really helpful in the suggestions of how to engage our grandchildren's parents.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Rob. There are grandparents all over the spectrum in this dynamic. And we have grandparent friends who are blocked from being very involved in any spiritual way in the lives of the grandkids because their kids-in-law are not following the Lord. And they'll say things that are actually rather rude, like, we don't want you preaching your religion to our kids, or something like that.
Right.
And I tell grandparents that are in that, I'll call that the worst case scenario. Yeah. And even in that situation, you are not hopeless. You are not helpless. Mm. You still have prayer. And we have a friend in the Christian grandparenting movement who says, even if you can't talk to your grandkids about God, you can always talk to God about your grandkids. Mm. And that's such a good reminder.
Yeah.
And so to be grandparents of prayer, but also there's other things you can do, you know, at Christmas time, at Easter, you know, even these holidays where you're together and you tell your kids, your kids-in-law, you know, when you're here at our house, we love you, but even though you might not value, you know, talking to God in your home, you know, we do. So when we're together, we're going to pray before meals, or maybe we're going to read, you know, Luke 2 before we open presents on Christmas morning or something. But you look for those little ways you can pour into your grandkids. And then just the model of your life, the way you live, says something. But thankfully, there are people on the other end of the spectrum where their kids or kids-in-law are inviting us grandparents into their family to serve alongside them or underneath them in reaching their kids. Yeah. And that's our situation. Our daughters and their husbands want us to be involved with their kids. And so what Gladine and I do is we'll sit down with our kids-in-law every couple of months, maybe. It's not on a schedule, but you know, at least several times a year, and ask the question, how are we doing as grandparents? Mm. Are there ways you would like us to be more involved in the lives of your kids? Do you think we've overstepped our bounds in some ways? Would you like us to back off in certain areas? Or are you aware of certain things in your kids' lives that you would like us to be addressing or helping you address? And having those conversations with your kids and kids-in-law builds trust. It builds a sense of we're on the same team. We might have different roles between parents and grandparents, but we have the same goal. We want those young ones to know and love Jesus Christ. And then most grandparents are somewhere in between. But, you know, I encourage them to not just use their kids to get to their grandkids, but love your kids for who they are.
Right.
You know, and honor them, speak well to them, pray for them, honor them in whatever way you can.
Yeah. Honor them before their children.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you honor your kids-in-law, even if there's some tension, the longer you do that in humility and in love, the more they realize, you know, mom and dad, grandpa and grandma are with us, they're for us, they're not against us. And you can build that relationship.
Wow. Well, you know, that is just so, it helps us as we think about how we can be loving to our grandchildren's parents. How can we not just like, oh, what we care about only is your kids. We care about you.
That's right. That's well said, Rob.
And I think that, because it can be, and I know, like, even in with my children, it's like it's always great. You get on, we do a lot of FaceTiming. And of course, I got three granddaughters, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and they're just beyond adorable on FaceTime. And, you know, and so you're just engaging them. And then you realize, but wait a minute, our children, their parents matter to us too. And your book was just so much like, make it a point to engage with them, to express love and appreciation and encouragement towards them. And you even talk about, you know, letting them know how to try to build them up in what's going on in their life.
And to teach the grandkids to honor their parents.
That's right. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is just that. I found that chapter so helpful, and it's already made me think about what I want to do with my children, my grandchildren's parents, and have those kind of conversations just such a simple way, because, you know, it also just shows that we're not trying to run roughshod over them, or we want to, yeah. We really do want to hear what you're saying, how you're parenting, and the things that matter to you. We want to show that kind of respect.
Amen. And you know, Rob, for the grandparents that are listening to this, If there are grandparents listening to this saying, you know what, we have less than an ideal relationship with our kids or kids-in-law, please know you're not alone. When Gladys and I travel to speak at grandparenting conferences and we open it up for Q&A, the question of how do we get along with the middle generation is not only the most frequently asked question, it's usually the most painful question. That this is a common issue, and yet God's grace gives us the ability, the power to pursue those kids-in-law in a way that honors him, in a way that helps the family.
Well, that's interesting that comes up. I mean, because I think about, I know, you know, there are people that I know of who basically as a grandparent, they were just cut off completely.
Yes,
this is in a Christian family, but they were still cut off. I mean, how would you speak to that?
Yeah, well, I think if the kids are blocking the grandparents, that's really sad. But the parents are the gatekeepers. Yeah. The parents can either open the gate or close the gate or close it somewhat. But if there's a true problem there, I think we in the older generation need to lean into God's grace and humbly ask the question, how have I contributed to this family tension? Mm. And not just say, those kids of mine or those kids-in-law, you know, and act like, you know, we're all right and they're all wrong. But to seek before the Lord, what do I need to confess here? What do I need to make right? And especially with our blood kids, to seek, hopefully, to have a conversation with them saying, you know, how can I make things right with you? Or what is it that I've done maybe currently or in the past that's made our relationship difficult? I want to have a loving relationship with you. What's on your heart? And then to humbly listen without defensiveness. To seek to work through relationally the problems that might be between you and your kids or kids-in-law, and try to do what would honor Christ and help them and not get huffy or withdraw in anger or, you know, depression, but by God's grace to lean in and to see what we can do to heal that family relationship between the middle generation and the older generation. And then to continue down that road as God continues to open doors. But there's a lot of heartache out there between the generations.
Yeah. Wow. I know you address this issue of grandparents who are having to raise grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I've quoted the statistic about 3 million grandparents in North America raising their grandkids. And we have a friend, Kevin Harper, who has written a book on grandparents raising grandkids. And I saw him not too many months ago. We were talking about this issue, and he said, Larry, the statistic is closer to 4 million now. So it's a growing number of grandparents that are raising grandkids. And these days, I mean, there are those exceptional cases where a grandchild's truly orphaned, or both parents in the military or something. But usually, if grandparents are raising grandkids, it's because of substance abuse by the middle generation, and maybe incarceration.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, the different government agencies or social agencies will call the grandparents and say, can you come get your grandkids? And sometimes grandparents do end up raising them. And I think the hard thing for the older generation is the feeling, I love my grandkids, but I'm older. And I've already done this once. Do I have to do it again? And if I do it again, am I doing it for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? Lord, are you going to give me the lifespan and the energy to do it? And I think in those situations for the grandparent who realizes I'm going to be living sacrificially for a number of years, as difficult as it is to face that, I'm not going to be able to, you know, just retire and hit the links, golf my life away or spend my money on cruises. I'm going to be raising another generation. To remember what Christ did for us and to recall he sacrificed voluntarily for us, and we can reflect him even to our families as we sacrifice in raising the next generation. And I think, you know, you're a pastor, Rob. I'm a pastor, even though I'm semi-retired. That we need to realize as pastors, when that situation's at our local churches, grandparents that are raising their grandkids could use help. Mm. And so for churches to think through intentionally, how can we serve those grandparents through respite care, through prayer, checking on them, you know, whatever, but to come alongside those grandparents and not forget that this is hard, because raising kids is hard. And when you're older, it's even harder. Yeah. I was in a church in Florida at a speaking engagement last year, and there was a lady who was a great grandmother. And we just met her that morning, and we found out that she was raising a 5-year-old great grandson. Mm. And I said to her, I want to talk to you. I said, you know, you're in your early 80s. You know, this is a 5-year-old great grandson. Who's helping you? Right. And she motioned with her arm around the room with a group of about 20 Christians that were gathered in that classroom. And she said, this is my family. And I was just so blessed that the people in her church were coming around her and helping her in that very challenging time.
Mm. Wow. The body of Christ being the body of Christ.
That's right.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, you brought up, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, just about attitudes that we have as grandparents. And I, you know, when I was reading it, one of the things you really challenge in that is the kind of the attitudes that we have, that like, oh, in my retirement years, it's about me and it's about rest and playing golf. And it's about, you know, all of those kinds of things. And yet you really challenge that. It kind of remind me of Piper's collecting seashells famous sermon, you know. It's like, what is, and it kind of speaks to, if you're having to raise grandchildren too, like, what are our expectations? Yeah. What is it that really God is doing here? And anyway, you would speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. And I'm in my early 70s now. And my gas tank isn't as big as it used to be, even though in God's kindness, I'm healthy for a guy my age. And my wife joins me in that. And we're still pretty active in this season of life. But we realize that could change any time. Yeah. And so I don't think it's wrong if a person's getting older and their energy level's lower to say, I can't go as fast or as hard as I used to, but I don't want to just coast to the finish line. Yeah. You know, I don't want to just be self-centered in my latter years and think this is all about me. And even though life changes, you might not do the same thing you used to do, but life should still be intentional. It should still be missional. Oh, and I think even of my late mother-in-law, my wife's mother was the last of our parents to die. She died several years ago. And then she lived to be 92. And in her last couple of years, she was very frail, almost blind, almost deaf, almost immobile, but she would pray for people. People would visit her and she would tell them about Jesus and his love. And I'm thinking, she's still on mission.
Yeah.
She can hardly move, but she did what she could. And so no matter what season of life we're in, no matter what our physical condition is, what can we do? Not just to keep dwelling on, I can't do what I used to do. That's understandable.
Yeah.
But what can you do? And don't just live for yourself or to live defeatedly.
Right.
That I can't do what I used to do, so I can't do anything. Oh, you could do something, even if it's lying in your bed as an immobile person. Devote yourself to prayer, but be missionally involved in the lives of the coming generations.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, we're always in the game. We're never on the bench in one
that's
sense.
That's right. That's right.
And so I know one of the things I know, like for my mom, who's getting up there in years too, she texts me every Saturday to find out who is preaching the next day, because she wants to be praying by name for that.
And wonderful.
And I know that's just part of her prayer, and I know she prays for all of her children and for her grandchildren. And I come to really value people who really do pray and intercede. And that's you know, that is such a gift. And that kind of leads to another question. As grandparents, how should we or could we be praying for our children and grandchildren?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I think as I listen to grandparents praying, And even as I think about my own prayers for grandkids, I think a lot of times my prayers, I would categorize them, or other grandparents' prayers are categorized primarily in two areas. We pray for the grandkids' safety and we pray for our grandkids' success. You know, and the safety issue, Lord, there's all these bad things that could happen to our grandkids. Just please keep them safe, Lord. Safe physically, safe emotionally, safe sexually.
Yeah.
You know, keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, just help them be successful, that they would do their best in school, their best on the athletic field or in music or whatever it is. And that's not wrong, but I want to tell grandparents, don't limit your prayers to just safety and success things. You know, pray for something bigger, something more eternal, you know, praying for their salvation. And I remember reading in 2 Timothy 1, where Paul told Timothy, he called Timothy my son in the faith.
Right.
And he said, come suffer with me for the cause of the gospel, for the cause of Christ. And I'm thinking, you know, Timothy wasn't a kid at that point. He was probably in his mid to late 30s. But here, nevertheless, he was a son to Paul spiritually.
Right.
And Paul wasn't praying, oh, Lord, please keep my son safe. In essence, he was saying, Lord, give my son such a passion for Christ that he's willing to suffer for you. He's willing to sacrifice for you. And I think to pray big prayers for grandkids, you know, especially as they're moving toward adulthood, you know, give them a passion for you, that they're willing to live for you and turn a deaf ear to the siren calls of this world, that we pray big prayers that our grandkids would make a difference for the cause of Christ. And our oldest grandchild, the one that will be soon be 18, I just see how the Lord's developing him into a leader. And anytime I'm with him, I'm listening and commending him for how he's serving, you know, and to let him know as a grandfather, that's the right path, son.
Grandson. Right.
You know, don't just live for yourself. Live for Christ. Live for his people.
Yeah. That is so powerful. And it really is a different way of, like, yeah, praying. Prayers, certainly we pray for their safety, but we want so much more. We want so much more for them. And we want all that God has for them, and to serve him wholeheartedly. I always think, and actually the premise of my Christ-centered parenting is from 3 John, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. Mm. And part of the series has been, you know, ultimately God's the one who determines, because he's the one who awakens and regenerates. But what is our responsibility in the truth, which is to surround them with the truth, to encourage them towards the truth. Not just like, hey, we don't want our kids just to get through or just to cope. We want them to be vibrant followers of Christ, and our grandkids too. And that's wonderful. That is so encouraging. Mm-hmm. How would you say, if you were asked, how do you leave a godly legacy for your grandchildren?
Yeah. You know, Rob, I think a lot of grandparents, when they think about leaving a legacy, they think materially, financially.
Right.
You know, I'm going to leave some money to my grandkids. I'm going to leave these family heirlooms. And that's not necessarily wrong. But there's a much bigger, a much more enduring, a much more significant legacy we could leave. Let me just tell you a real quick story. A few years ago, a lady in our church died. She was in her early 80s. And several of us pastors in our church got to help with her funeral. And she had a lot of grandkids, and one of the oldest grandkids would have been in her early 20s at that point. And she was asked to speak on behalf of her generation about grandma. And she stood in front of that gathering at the funeral home, and with a smile on her face and tears on her cheeks, I can still hear it, she said to her siblings and cousins, you know, grandma sure loved us, didn't she? And yeah. And she said, but you know what? She loved Jesus even more. And when she said that, I started crying. And I thought, would my grandkids say that at my funeral? Will they say that at my funeral? Grandpa sure loved us, didn't he? But you know what? He loved Jesus even more. And I thought, now there's a legacy, you know, that our grandkids, when they think about grandparents, the grandkids will be thinking, my grandparents, well, to live was Christ and to die was gain.
Right.
And Gladine said to me one time, my wife said to me one time, she said, you know, the grandkids aren't going to remember everything we say. They're not going to remember everything we do. But you know what they're going to remember? They're going to remember what we're passionate about. Or maybe we should rephrase that. They're going to remember who we're passionate about. Yeah. And I think if you want to leave a legacy for your grandkids, live in their presence, live all the time outside their presence too, with a passion for Christ, mm-hmm. that the grandkids would lean in and say, I want what my papa and grandma have.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. Okay. I'm having to do some repenting and praying right now. So if you just need to go on and talk, so it is so good. It is so helpful. But let me ask you a few more questions.
Sure.
Just in writing this book, what are some of the things, some of the changes maybe you've made in your own grandparenting?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Phil, probably a key one is that whole word intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've loved our grandkids from the first time we held our first grandchild, even before that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, thinking through this issue of teaching other grandparents through writing and speaking, it made me realize that I need to live with intentionality. And we do seek to do that. We really do. And I think that word intentionality has been significant. And I think, too, just intentional about what? And seeking to have intentionality in spiritual realm. Two of our granddaughters turned 16. They're cousins, born 11 days apart. They turned 16 this month. And last night I sat at my desk and I wrote each of them a happy 16th birthday letter. And as I was writing that letter to these two gals, I was trying to communicate to them the value of knowing Christ and following Christ, and to put that in writing. And I think just living that way as a grandparent and communicating the centrality of Christ, the centrality of the gospel in very accessible ways, that the grandkids grow up around us as grandparents. They hear that, they see that. And yeah, we've been on a journey for a while now, and I realize that our grandkids are moving toward adulthood. But even in adulthood, if the Lord gives us long lives, that we can continue to pray and encourage them on their journey.
Yeah.
Some of our grandkids are already talking about looking forward to the day that they can make us great-grandparents.
Oh, got to appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, they want us involved with their kids. And I told one granddaughter the other day, I said, think about it, sweetheart, you're 10. I'm 71. I said, for me to see your kids someday, I've got to live to be really old. We'll see what the Lord has planned.
Wow.
But the fact that she wanted us involved in the kids' lives, that was a blessing.
Right. That's huge. That says a lot. Oh, my.
She's a forward-looking 10-year-old.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, the book obviously is written for grandparents, but would you recommend this to other people other than just grandparents?
Yeah, I would, Rob. And I think on my heart, as I wrote it as a pastor and really love church leaders who are not grandparents to think about grandparents as being part of God's mission. And our lead pastor, Mark Goodwin, is a generation younger than I am. And yet he will regularly make applications to parents in his preaching. In his pastoral prayer, he'll often pray for grandparents. And I think if younger pastors who aren't grandparents yet get acquainted with this whole mission God's given grandparents, they can include this whole dynamic in their own ministry. And so I encourage pastors and church leaders to read the book and be familiar. But I've had a number of the middle generation buy the book and say they want to read it so they know how to be a catalyst in connecting their parents with themselves and with their kids. And so they want to get familiar with what God says about grandparents, just so they know how to encourage their parents, the older generation. Mm-hmm. So it really can be read intergenerationally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so many things that you speak about here, like even intentionality and just being so purposeful in what we're doing, is just basically how we should be in all of our relationships within the church, be redemptive, purposefully redemptive, mm-hmm. and purposely yeah. going towards encouraging others towards Christ. And this is mm-hmm. just an extension of that into an area we don't often think about. That's yes. what's so good about this book. One of the reasons why it's so good. If you had just like one thing that you'd want grandparents to walk away from, or people who are reading this book to walk away from, what would that be?
Wow, that's a powerful question. Yeah, Thank you for asking it, Rob. I would say if there's one thing takeaway that's on my heart is for grandparents and non-grandparents to see that grandparenting is a mission given by God. Mm-hmm. That grandparents live on mission for the glory of God and the good of the coming generations.
Yeah. Wow. That is excellent. And I pray so. I pray the Lord is using your book that I know it is. I know he's using that in my life mm-hmm. to really bring some focus and some attention to some areas in some ways I didn't think about things. Mm-hmm. And so I really pray that it has that same kind of effect in our church. So let me end with, can you just think maybe, I'm trying to think if there's a way to just some like practical ways as a grandparent, some of the things maybe you do, you mentioned many of them, like just writing these letters to your 16-year-old granddaughters, other kinds of practical ways we can be involved in our kids' lives, anything maybe else that you've thought about or that mm-hmm. That you just found would be like, I know one of the things you talk about is maybe memorizing scripture together or mm-hmm. questions to ask them to engage with them yeah. when you're talking to them on the phone or FaceTime, yeah. just whatever, anything like that.
Well, you mentioned questions, Rob, and something that I love asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I try to think through strategic questions that are not intimidating, but neither are they just, mundane. And so sometimes I'm not sure what to ask the grandkids. And so if nothing else, the fallback is to say, what's been a blessing in your life this past week? Or what's been a challenge for you? And even our little six-year-old grandson, we had a video call with him and his siblings individually, one after the other. In that family, there's four of them. And when Josiah, the six-year-old, was on the video call with us, you know, I said, "What has God done for you that makes you happy lately?" And he said, "I don't know." And I said, "Did he give you two parents who love you?" "Yes." "Oh, there's something, buddy, isn't there?" And I kept leading him to see that those daily things that he's so used to are blessings from God. And so I think as grandparents, learning to engage the grandkids on their level with questions that'll help them see their need for Christ or help them see the blessings of Christ. And then to talk about that and intentionally asking questions that'll show them the value of pursuing Christ. And that's a key thing. So I'm always trying to think of questions to ask. And yeah, there are things you can do, putting things in writing, encouraging books, talking to the grandkids this past week about something I read in my devotions and trying to apply it on their level age-wise, you know. And it was fun, you know, talking to them. "Hey, you know what I read this morning?" and then to talk about and apply it in their world. And it's intentionality and yeah. it's regular intentionality, not just, you know, once a year sort of thing.
Right. Right. And it to be intentional means you have to think ahead about mm-hmm. some of these things and not just like in the spur of the moment, which is okay, mm-hmm. but to think about the kind of conversations you want to have.
Yeah. And I think a lot of grandparents, I mean, I still live a pretty full life.
Yeah.
But even grandparents that are still working, not retired, they feel like they're still busy. We probably have more flexibility time than our kids do that are raising their kids.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing with your flexible time? Are you using it to be intentional to your own family, how you're ministering to your kids and grandkids? So
yeah.
God's given us more flexibility as we get older. How we use, not physically flexible, but time flexibility.
Yeah.
How are we using that to think, how can I be a blessing to my family this week?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, this book and just the heart of Christ reflected through it and your heart that's reflected is such a gift to the church mm-hmm. and it's so you. Helpful. And is mm-hmm. I think it's so needed in so many ways, just to always be thinking, okay, mm-hmm. I have a place in the kingdom work. I have a mission that I'm still on. Mm-hmm. And you articulate that well. You bring us to the word so that we see what the word is telling us there. And then you just help us in so many practical ways to apply this. And
can I mention another resource,
yeah.
Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for your encouragement about the book, Grandparenting with Grace. I'm very thankful for how God's using that. Back a few years ago, I taught through the book at our church building one chapter at a time. And we had some professional videographers come and record it and edit it. And we have a website, Walking Like Jesus Ministries, WLJMinistries.org. And those videos are up there on and on YouTube for free. And so if people want to work through the book as a group or on their own, or sometimes people don't really like to read that much, they can watch the videos or whatever, and they can still benefit.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. I wish I would have thought to ask you. But yeah, that's wonderful, so that they can actually go and see a little bit more intensive or in-depth look at this. So, Larry, thank you for your time. As every interaction I have with you, I just come away just being encouraged in my faith and challenged and hopeful and full of gratitude to the Lord, and just more aware of His greatness and His work. And so, thank you for taking the time to do this. And I want to kind of be selfish here. Would you just end our time praying for our church and for grandparents? I would love if you would do that.
It would be a delight. Thank you, Rob. Lord, thank you so much for the blessing of knowing Your Son Jesus Christ. You could have kept us in the dark, but You came and revealed Your Son to us, the living Word. You gave us Your Word, the written Word. Thank You for Your kindness that way. And I thank You for what You're doing at Mission City Fellowship. Pray for Rob and Phil and the other leaders there, that You would continue to empower them. And Lord, in particular today, we want to pray for the grandparents who are involved directly or indirectly there at Mission City, that You would help all of the grandparents to see the mission You've given us, and that You might be kind in using the older generation and blessing the middle and youngest generation with the stories of Your greatness and grace. So come and work powerfully, not just in expanding Your kingdom breadth-wise, but depth-wise, intergenerationally. Would You come and share Your hand there in Mission City, please? In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. And Lord God, I want to pray for Larry and for Gladine and for the ministry that You have opened to them, this vital ministry, important ministry. Lord, I just pray that You would continue to order their steps and open the doors that You would have them to walk through, that they might faithfully bring this message, encouraging grandparents and really encouraging the whole body of Christ towards faithfulness to You, Lord. I do pray that You'd grant them the energy, even as He said, that as they continue to get older, Lord, that You would grant them the energy to do what You called them to do. And even more than that, that You would grant them the faith to do what You've called them to do, the trust You, to look to You, Lord, and that You would continue to use this to transform maybe some relationships, some grandparents who are struggling, not sure what to do towards their grandchildren, not sure how to deal with their grandchildren's parents, Lord. I just pray that You would continue to use this in many ways, Lord. And we pray that through this ministry, that Your kingdom would come and that much fruit would be born that glorifies You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Larry, so much for taking time. Hopefully we can connect again soon.
And to you and Terry as well.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye-bye.